praise the Lord Jesus. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, we'll start on verse 31. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away, and he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Remember Lot's wife. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your precious word. I pray, Father, that you would give me the ability to speak thy word, to preach thy word. I pray, my Father, that you would open up the hearts of everyone here, open up their ears to hear and their hearts to understand. I pray, my Lord, above all, that if there's someone here that is not saved, that today will be the day that you would save their souls. I pray, my Father, that you would receive all the honor and glory as only thou art worthy. And we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'd like to preach on verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. You know, this chapter begins with many important things, and everything in the Bible is extremely important. Every verse, every story, even every word. Jesus says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. All of this Bible has proceeded out of his mouth. But what we have here is the Pharisees. They came to ask the Lord. They wanted to know when the kingdom of God should come. They wanted to see it. And God told them very plainly, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. He went on to say, the kingdom of God is within you. But then he turned away from them because that's what religious people do. They always want to know facts. They want to know something that nobody else does. They could really care about the truth. But then he turned to his disciples. And he began to tell him, you know, first of all, the Son of Man must first be rejected. And then it will be like in the days of Noah. And he began to expound on that. In the days of Noah, he says they were drinking and eating and marrying. And then he says, but then they were taken up into that boat. And then the floods came and destroyed everybody. These are tremendous examples that God is giving us here. It's something that we should learn from it, because you notice that in the last days, God is making it very plain that before his wrath comes upon this world, he takes his children out. Nevertheless, he goes on and talks about Lot. He says, as in the days of Lot, it's going to be the same. And he goes on to say the same thing. He says, in the days of Lot, they were also eating, they were drinking and marrying. But he goes on a little further in talking about Lot. He says, they were also building. They were also buying. They were also selling. They were also doing things. In other words, it's going to be during the time of good economy. In other words, the unemployment rate would be very low. The stock market would be very high. That's what he's trying to tell you, more or less like today. That's what Jesus is trying to say. It's going to be, people are going to be having a good time. He says, but then after Lot went out, then comes destruction. Then comes fire from heaven, comes the brimstone and destruction, and everybody perished. So what he's trying to say is how it's going to be in the last days is something for us to learn. But I just want you to know that in the middle of all of this, and of course when he's talking about the destruction that came to Sodom and Gomorrah, it wasn't only those two cities. The Bible tells you that it was also other cities involved. In other words, when it hit about a 30-mile strip, about 10 miles wide, 30 miles long, and it wiped them out completely. All the little suburbs, they all went down. But he says that in the midst of all of this, he says, remember Lot's wife. Now, why would Jesus say, remember Lot's wife? This is a time when he's talking about the end times. He's talking about destruction. But if he's telling you this, I guarantee you, it's something for you and for me. It's something for the whole church. But if I would ask you this morning, get out a pencil and paper and write to me everything you know about Lot's wife, you would only write one sentence. There's not much to tell about her. She's only mentioned three times, or rather Lot's wife mentioned three times. Jesus mentioned it one more time. Nevertheless, we don't even know her name. Nevertheless, this is going to teach you quite a few things, and I would just like for you to pay attention as I begin to expound on this lady, her character, her background, because if you look at it real closely, you might see yourself. It might be a reflection of you. I just hope you're not afraid to look into her face and to see, is that really me? Jesus says that he was going to, that he wanted us to remember Lot's wife. Now, he could have mentioned a lot of other ladies. He could have mentioned Sarah. He could have mentioned Leah. He could have mentioned Ruth. He could have gone to the New Testament and mentioned Mary and Martha. And how about his mother? But he didn't mention none of them. He didn't say, we could have learned quite a bit. And the ladies, when they teach, the other ladies, they're always teaching about the women in the Bible. And there's so much to learn from them. Nevertheless, he didn't say, learn from her. He says, learn from somebody that we don't know much about. This lady was lost. This lady became a pillar of salt. What can we learn from somebody this bad? Nevertheless, Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. I want you to know that when Jesus said that, he wasn't asking a question. He didn't say, remember Lot's wife? It was a declaration. It was a statement. It was a command. And if it's a command for you to remember, you ought to remember it. There's none of the other ladies in the Bible are we told to remember, but we're told to remember this lady. Only three times she was mentioned. One time is when the angel said or told he was already in their house, and he told in the morning they had already, a lot of things had happened. That happened in Genesis 19, by the way, if you want to ever read the story, if you haven't read it. I know some of you are very familiar with it. But the angel finally told her, you know, arise, take thy wife, and flee from the wrath to come. Now, that's the first time that we see her. The second time we see is the angel grabs Lot's wife by the hand because she was lingering, so was Lot. The third time that we see her in the scriptures, she's turning back after she had already been told, don't look back. And she looked back and became a pillar of salt. Other than that, we don't have too much that we can go by. But the Lord said, remember Lot's wife. I would like to go into several areas of her life and see what the Lord has to teach us by remembering Lot's wife. The first thing I'd like you to point out to you, is that she was a very privileged lady by marriage. She was married to the only saved guy in town. Can you imagine that? Wow. Yeah. If you were born in Sodom and Gomorrah and you were looking for a godly young man, you couldn't find nobody. There was nobody else, only Lot, and he wasn't that much of a catch. The thing is, this guy made a lot of mistakes. He was a little bit gone, you know, but the Bible, the only reason we know he was saved is because we read in the New Testament that he was vexed with the filthy conversation of Sodom. If we had not seen that in the scriptures, if his righteous soul was vexed, we would have said the guy was lost. The guy was arguing with the angel. When the angel told him, escape, Lot, get out of here, man. Go on before the destruction comes. It cannot come while you're still here. And this guy has the audacity to mess around with God's angel, or he might have been Jesus himself. And he says, not so, Lord, unless some evil overtakes me as I'm trying to flee. Let me instead go into this little town, Zor. Isn't it just a little town? Can I go over here? It's amazing. Yet, this guy was saved. So you can see also that she was blessed by the marriage. She was married to the only guy that was really saved, because the rest of the family wasn't saved. Lot's wife was not saved, and I will point this out later. His other two daughters that escaped were not saved either. Just because they made it out, it was only for his benefit. That was his family. The angels had gone with him as they tried to get the other ones that were married, and they thought that he was mocking. They stayed behind and they perished. So all his family was lost. Nevertheless, this man was a blessing for the fact that he was a rich person. He had been blessed just like Abraham. He had come into town and finally sold all his cattle. He decided to turn in his spurs and to turn in his chaps, and he was not going to be a cowboy no more, and decided to buy a townhouse and live in Sodom. He was maybe the mayor, maybe the somebody important, or the judge. But he used to do business in the by the gates. That's where the important people would sit and do business. This lady was extremely privileged that she was married to a godly family. This guy, not only was he saved, but he was also the nephew of Abraham. Abraham was known as the friend of God. Can you imagine having an uncle like that? Some of you take pride in saying, oh, Uncle Lindo. This lady could say, man, Uncle Abe? Abraham was her uncle. This guy was really, he was a friend of God. He walked with God. He made a covenant with God. This guy was important. This guy, she would be able to know all the things that had happened to him. No doubt in my mind that her husband would tell her, oh, you know, my uncle Abraham, he did this, and he was justified by God because he believed God. Salvation is by grace through faith. All of these things, she had it because of marriage. But on the other hand, you know what God wants you to remember Lot's wife for? Marriage doesn't save you. Relationship doesn't save you. Maybe your husband is saved. That doesn't mean that you're saved. Maybe your wife is saved. That doesn't mean that you're going to heaven because she's saved. Maybe mom and dad are saved, and you think you're going to heaven because mom and you think you're going to be holding on to their hands. You won't make it. On the other hand, it also teaches me that just because everybody in your family is lost, that doesn't mean you can't get saved either. Right. Everybody in my family, when I got saved, nobody was saved. Everybody in my wife's family, nobody was saved when she got saved. Some have gotten saved. Nevertheless, relationship doesn't save you. That's what God means when he says, remember Lot's wife. Even though she was privileged to be married to the best family on the whole earth. Maybe the greatest man that ever walked on earth was Abraham. It would be a good contest between him and Moses and some of the others, but I would say Abraham would be way up in the top. He'd be probably in the top two, maybe the best, and yet that doesn't save nobody. So when God says, remember Lot's wife. God wants you to understand that marriage doesn't save you. We also have something else about this lady. She was privileged because of the knowledge that she had. She was married to somebody who knew Scripture. She was married to somebody who knew God. Her family was Abraham. And let me tell you, Abraham, when you read in the Scriptures, even before that, the Bible had already declared him righteous because he believed God. In other words, before even thousands of years before Romans chapter 4 was written, she already knew it by heart. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4 that Abraham could not boast before God, not because of his works. The Bible also tells you in Romans chapter 4 that those who are trying to work their way to heaven will be counted as a debt. She knew it. She understood that salvation was by grace through faith, because that's exactly what saved Abraham. It was his faith that was counted for righteousness. That's what she knew. So she had this tremendous knowledge that salvation was by grace through faith. How many people know that? Now you're here, you're privileged that you have all this knowledge here. You're taught all these things all the time. Week after week, you're being told salvation by grace through faith. Here it is in the Bible. We quote you the verse. We tell you where it's at. You can read it. We have extra Bibles. And yet, there's no doubt in my mind, we have people here that are still not saved. They're playing the game just like Lot's wife. But you know, the thing is that God gives us these examples so that we can learn from it. I told a story Wednesday night. If you were here, you already know it, but I'm still going to say it. I had gone to get my vehicle worked on. Last Saturday, I went to the Ford dealership, and I was sitting at the table waiting for them to come with the bill. And when the guy came, I had my Bible open. I was reading and studying. And he came in and gave me the whole rundown. I said, okay, now that we're finished and you know what you're going to do, let me ask you something else. When you die, where are you going? And I began to witness to this young man, and I told him that salvation was by grace through faith. He did not know. He thought that his goodness would take him to heaven. And I just flipped on the Bible, and I read him Ephesians 2:8 and 9. Then I took him to Romans chapter 4, which I already told you about just a while ago. When I finished with him and telling him a lot of other things, this young man said, this is just awesome. This is amazing. I had never heard such a thing. But you know, when I go down the streets, and I've been on the streets for 25 years that I've been saved, minus 6 months while I was training on the Word of God, then I hit the streets. I've been on the streets that long, either preaching on the streets or going door to door. You know how many times I find people that tell me the same thing over and over? Most people have no clue of salvation. This lady was extremely privileged. If I had died any time before I was saved, at the age of 36, I would have gone to hell. Nobody had told me. I learned a little bit here and there. But if I had died, I would have gone straight to hell. At the age of 36, I got saved. All my life, I would go to church, and they would always tell me, if you're a good little boy, you'll go to heaven. If you're a bad little boy, you'll go to hell. And that's all I knew. I didn't know how good I had to be. This lady had a tremendous privilege in knowledge. She had a husband that knew the truth. Without a doubt, he would come and tell her, look, Uncle Abe, he got saved by grace through faith. He got saved by putting his faith in God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And that's how I got saved, and you can get saved too, honey. And she wouldn't believe him. How many people really know those things? The thing is that when I came back to pay for my vehicle, I met this young man in the lobby, the same one, and he began to ask me more questions. I had my Bible in my hand, and then the next thing I know, here comes another young man that he had already began to tell him what he had heard. And the other guy comes in and stands right next to me. He also worked there. And then this young man asked me, sir, I have a question also. I'm not that bad, and I don't go to any church. But I thought I would be going to heaven. Where do you think I'll go? And I began to witness to him, and I began to quote verse. And let me tell you, I was feeling the Spirit of God was there, no doubt in my mind. And when I finished talking to them, both of them left and said, this is awesome. I've never heard of such a thing. But that's San Antonio. That's everywhere you go. You can go to Mexico. You can go to Poland. Anywhere. That's the kind of people, the kind of response that you'll find. If they'll just sit long enough for you to talk to them and tell them that salvation is by grace through faith, it's a free gift of God, they will tell you the same thing. They had no clue. We have many people that are out there lying. They don't use the Word of God. I was just told yesterday, I won't mention names, but they were telling me about a young man that came to church not too long ago. He didn't know the Scriptures that much, but he had been studying the Bible through the Internet. And one of my friends asked him, what are you doing now? Are you going to church? No, I got my own church now. I've been ordained. The guy didn't know nothing. Now he's got his own church. That's what this world is full of people who don't know the Scriptures, and they're teaching somebody else. So that's why they fill it up with so many songs. They fill it with so many things and so many announcements, and they don't give you the Word of God. They don't preach salvation. This lady was extremely privileged that she had somebody that could tell her the truth. Many people don't know these things. My wife was coming on from a trip on an airplane some time back, and she began to witness to the lady that was sitting right next to her. And the lady told her, you know, I am saved, but I didn't used to be. And for many years, she began to give her testimony. I was teaching Sunday school. I would play the piano. I was very much involved, and finally, I realized that I was not saved. I heard a preacher preach a message. I'm sure she had heard many messages. She never paid attention. Till finally the Word of God just grabbed a hold of her. And she realized she wasn't saved. And she came to the altar and asked the Lord to save her soul after many years. And when she did that, the pastor's wife also came to the altar and said, I want to get saved too. The thing is that there's many people out there. This is just an example. There's no doubt in my mind there's many lads, wives out there. And not only, I'm not talking only about ladies. I want you to understand, I'm talking about men too. I'm talking about young people also. This applies to all of us. The thing is that there's many out there that they have fooled everybody, but they don't fool God. And this lady, nevertheless, was privileged by the knowledge that she had. She already knew so many things. And at the same time, she also knew that judgment was coming. Isn't that amazing? And they still don't take any actions. Let me tell you something that we know about this lady. Just simply by being here in the Scriptures and simply by knowing who she was and who she was married to, she knew without a doubt that destruction was imminent. She knew destruction was coming. There was no doubt about it as to who these guys were. She saw how they handled the crowd that wanted to rape the two visitors. They were blinded that night. I'm sure that they were dressed in white because God's angels don't come in blue jeans. I know some people in the country song, they say, well, you know, I saw him and he had cowboy boots and, you know. They don't come like that. They come in white. No doubt about it that she understood, man, this white that they're wearing, this is too white for anybody else. No soap can get close this white. These guys, they could see, these were the people of God. These were angels from God. She could see the power that they had. She could see that these guys didn't go to sleep. They woke her up and said, hey, you need to get out of here. Destruction is coming. She understood these things. Her husband was also 100% convinced that destruction was coming, because that same night he had gone to his daughters and her sons-in-laws to try to convince them, hey, destruction is coming, and they mocked him. They laughed at him. Isn't that amazing? All the blood of Sodom will be in Lot's hands. If Sodom had heard the preaching, if Sodom had seen the teachings of God, they would have repented and they would have been here even today. Amen. That's what Jesus says in Matthew. He says, I'm not sure if it was Bethsaida or Chorazin or one of those cities, he was blasting. He says, if Sodom had received the miracles that you got, they would have no doubt repented. And they would have been here today. You know what that tells me? That if I had not repented, if I had not gotten saved, or I had not reached the age of 36 when I got saved and I had gotten killed many other times that I came close to dying, I wouldn't have made it. It would have been said of me, he probably would have, but he didn't get that far. You gotta count your blessings that you're here this morning. That the Lord has extended that mercy. He hasn't called you home yet. Because when destruction comes, you won't have time. You might look back one more time, just like she did. And then you'll just be an example. I never heard Lot even mention his wife afterwards. He didn't even say, oh, poor wife, I'm going to really miss the beans. She used to cook real good beans. Nothing. She was gone. Forget about her. It's a shame, but this is exactly, this lady knew that this was, they were angels. They were for real. Danger was coming. Destruction was coming. But you know, the thing is, how many in here know that Jesus is coming? Jesus is coming soon. Amen. We preach it all the time. You read it in the scriptures and you can see it without a doubt. Jesus is telling you, Paul is telling you, he's coming soon. Jesus even tells you on one point, he says, learn the parable of the fig tree. He didn't say, you might. He says, learn it. Why should you learn it? The fig tree is Israel. The fig tree, he says, when you see the leaves, you won't see the fruit yet, but you'll see the leaves. He says, I'm already at the door. Israel is back in town. They came back in 1948. You can see the leaves, you don't see the fruit. God had condemned that tree because he didn't find no fruit. It's very easy to understand why he did it. That was the only thing he ever condemned while he was here. Nevertheless, the fig tree is Israel. He was upset because he wanted to find fruit. They had no fruit. And when the time comes and we see the leaves, he says, know for sure that I'm at the door. He wants you to learn that. That's what he says in the scriptures. So we have to understand that the time that God is coming soon, we are to know, just like this lady, destruction is coming. We are to know that what's coming next into this world is going to be even worse than what Sodom and Gomorrah ever saw. This was only a slight preview of what's to come. Because something very similar is going to come, and even worse than this. This was destruction to only several cities. Only one city was saved that was going to be destroyed, and that was Zoar. Only because Lot prayed for that city, he said, let me go there. Even God told him, you see what I'm doing? I am sparing this place just because of what you said. You know what that teaches me? that even though you're a backsliding Christian, God still listens to you. He listened to Lot. He can listen to you. Nevertheless, he would rather that you wouldn't be a backsliding Christian. But you see, the thing is that even in Jude, verse 7, he says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, or set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. I want you to know that even though Lot's wife became a pillar, she didn't stop suffering. She probably didn't even see it coming. The people that were in Sodom and Gomorrah, probably they didn't look up to see, because it wasn't a great explosion like some people would like to say. Oh yeah, it must have been somebody had a dirty bomb. Somebody just set up or knew a little bit about bombs. Maybe they said it was like a big explosion, like an atom bomb. It was no such thing. It came from heaven. It was destruction from heaven. It was rain. It was a fire and brimstone. In other words, hell was sent from heaven. And the Bible tells you who sent it. He says that there was a God on the earth and one in heaven. He says, and the God from heaven sent it. It was sent by, I forget how it was read. I'll read it to you instead of trying to remember it. And it says, on verse 24, he says, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. It seems like there's two. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom from the Lord out of heaven. In other words, the Father and the Son. All judgment has been given to the Son. That's what the Bible says. Of course, this would confuse many religions. They would have no clue. Where God speaks in the plural, they'll just run from it. But it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. That's what the Bible tells you. Nevertheless, I want you to know that they were suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Eternal means it doesn't stop. Just because they were burnt and killed, it didn't stop there. They're still suffering. The Bible didn't say they suffered. It says suffering that's still going on. Eternal, that means it never will be quenched. And that's exactly what Jesus says. This fire will never be quenched. This is where this lady is right now. She was a deceiver. She fooled her husband. She fooled everybody. She wound up fooling her own family. Nevertheless, Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. You know, in Matthew 11:23, I just told you a while ago, but it was Capernaum. And that's what Jesus is talking about. He says, if Capernaum had gotten the miracles done there, the miracles that were performed there, if they had occurred at Sodom, they would have remained even until now. And that to me just tells me something, that shame on Lot. The blood of all these people will be upon his hands. He knew the truth and never said nothing. And shame on you if you don't tell nobody. Shame on you if you don't tell your relatives, your friends. They're going to hate you. Some are going to run you off and they're going to tell you, don't ever tell me again. That's what they told me. They're not going to want to listen to you. They're not going to even want to talk to you again. But some might get saved. The Apostle Paul says that he became all things to all men so that he might save some. In other words, most people will reject it. That's why Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? After he had preached for so long. Who hath believed our report? This lady was lost. It's a shame that Lot didn't witness. his daughters that were married, they perished. One day he will see them at the white throne judgment. They might even yell at him and say, "Dad, why didn't you tell me that?" Right before they're cast into the lake of fire. Let me tell you, Lot's wife had many problems also. One of her biggest problems was disobedience. So much like today. So many people just disobey. She had been told, "Don't look back." How come she looked back? No doubt in my mind that people have argued that and talked about it through the centuries. Why would she look back? She was disobedient. But you know what she proved by looking back? She proved where her heart really was. Her heart was back in town. Her heart was where her treasure was. She was leaving her house, leaving her family, leaving the two-car garage with two cars parked in it. She was leaving all her treasures. And this is where her heart was. When she turned, she proved to the whole world, she proved to God, he already knew it, this is where her heart was. It's just like the saying says, you can take the boy out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the boy. You could take her out, her heart was still in town. Her heart was still in Sodom. She wasn't saved. And when she did, of course, she wind up turning into a pillar of salt. Maybe she just thought that God was just love. Oh, God's not going to do such a thing. That's not what we hear at the church. That's not what old rabbi said the other day. Or priest so-and-so. He said that God is love, and without a doubt, my friend, God is love. He sent his only begotten son to die for you. And what a shame that you would reject him. What a shame that you would think that you can make it with your own goodness. Remember Lot's wife. Maybe she was just too much into the world. She loved the world. She didn't want to leave this world. She just kept on looking back. But this is the same thing that happens to so many people. They don't want to get saved because they're in this world. They don't want to leave this world. And they keep looking, I won't be able to go to the dances. I won't be able to meet my friends at the bar. And you shouldn't. Shame on you if you're saved and you're still doing that. But it's a shame that many who still go, you just might not be saved. Where is your heart? Is it still back in Sodom? God says, remember Lot's wife. You know, she had another big problem. She was a deceiver. She was involved in deception. She had fooled her whole family that she was saved. Her own husband thought that she was saved. The angels were not fooled. But they were going to grant him the just take out your family out. Does that save you because you come out of problems? You know, I've heard it over and over and over. Many people have told me, especially elderly people, "Well, I used to have this, and I prayed to God, and He saved me out of this. So I know that God does live because look at what He did to me." And they're claiming that for their salvation. They never asked the Lord to save their soul. They're trusting on some miracle or something. "Well, I used to limp and now I don't limp no more." And the devil loves to do all kinds of little tricks. And people are always saying, "God delivered me from this." You know what God did? He delivered a whole nation. The nation of Israel was taken out of Egypt. And the Bible says that they were taken out. It says in Jude. And then God destroyed them that believed not. And when you read the story, how many people were destroyed? The majority. They didn't make it to the promised land. They were rebellious people. unbelieving people, nevertheless, they passed through the Red Sea. They sang the songs. They knew the words. They knew the lingo. They knew Moses. They didn't know God. They still didn't believe. And just because they came out of bondage, they could have very easily said, I belong to God because look what God did for me. Don't be trusting on your circumstances. You need to be born again. Amen. Don't think that just because you were healed of one thing or another, oh, now I'll give all the credit to God. You need to be born again. Learn what this lady has to say. Very important. Go to the book of Jude. The book of Jude. Only one little book right before the book of Revelation. And I will give you that verse. It says on verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew these, how that the Lord, having saved the people, notice this, out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. He took them out. Some people would say, well, the thing is, didn't they get baptized in the Red Sea? Didn't they get baptized into Moses? Well, so did Simon the sorcerer. The Bible says that he believed, he was baptized, and then Peter pointed it out. He said, you know what? I believe, I perceive that you're still in the gall of bitterness. The man was not saved. There are many people here that get baptized and they confess and they do all kinds of, they're still not saved. Remember Lot's wife. Remember what Jude is telling you. He said, these people came out of Egypt, but then God destroyed them that believed not. When you read the story of Exodus, you will see that many millions came out. When you see who actually made it, very few of the old people made it. Very few. Most of them died on the way. Grave after grave, all day long. But you know the thing is that if you still fail, if you still don't make it. Let me give you the last warning. What we learn from Lot's wife is that destruction, first of all, was very sudden. You might think that, well, I'm still alive. This country's strong. Nothing's going to happen. God's coming in the twinkling of an eye. If you stay behind, there won't be no hope for you. You that have already heard the gospel, you've heard the gospel of salvation, salvation by grace through faith. That's what the Bible teaches. If you reject it, then during the tribulation, God's going to send a strong delusion so that you might believe a lie, that you might be damned because you had no love for the truth. That's what the Bible tells you. That's what the Apostle Paul has written to the Thessalonians. I want you to know that you need to remember Lot's wife. Another thing you will notice about this lady, that her destruction was final. There was no turning back. She did one more turn and that was the end of her. Her destruction was final. And then I want you to understand that her destruction is still going on. It doesn't stop. I just read to you, well, I didn't read it. I had quoted it, but I'll read it to you now. On Jude, verse 7, he says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, or set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. It's eternal. It's not going to stop. And that's exactly what God is telling us. If your hand offends you, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. Can you imagine such drastic measures? And yet God recommends it instead of you going to hell. Going to hell is not going to be a picnic. Many people say, well, I'll just be there with all my friends drinking beer. We'll be just telling each other jokes. You won't have time. You'll be running and yelling and screaming, and you'll be in torment. It won't stop forever. And even if you get in some little corner, if you find such a thing, and you think that if you just behave and be a good little boy, that maybe in a million years they'll give you parole or off for good behavior, there's no such thing. There's no parole. There's no coming out. There's no such thing as completing it. You'll be there forever. Nevertheless, I just want to let you know the last thing is that grace is still available.
Amen.
God will still save you. You can remember Lot's wife. God wants you to remember her so that you will understand that what happened to her can happen to you. The pillar of salt that was left out there was a sign for everybody else to see. Look what happened to that hypocrite. She could have very easily had been melted away into the ground just like everybody else. That place is still existing today. It is evidence. It's called the Dead Sea right now. Nothing grows in it. It's 30 miles long by 10 miles wide. Nevertheless, she was left there as a monument so that everybody can see, look what happens to hypocrites. I don't want to be like that. That's what Jesus means when he says, remember Lot's wife. Don't be like her. Salvation's by grace through faith. You know the truth. Don't take it lightly. You need to understand that what God says, he will bring it to pass. There's not one word or one jot or one tittle that will pass away until all has been fulfilled. We don't know when Jesus is coming. All we know is that it's near. We say it's near because he says it's near. All the apostles tell you it's near. Jesus says, I'm at the door. When you see these signs, he gives you signs so that you can see. He says, oh, you hypocrites, you can tell when it's going to rain. You look at the sky and you can't tell at the sign of the coming of the Son of Man. He wants you to be able to tell his coming better than trying to forecast the weather forecast. You would be more accurate than them anyway. But let me tell you something. Even right now, don't walk out this door if you're not saved.
Amen.
Don't leave it to chance. If the Lord comes right now as we're on the way out, you're going to be very embarrassed if you're still hanging around. You need to settle this account. God means business. Throughout the scriptures, he's very serious. And he shows us many different things and aspects and different ways to look at things. He doesn't want nobody to miss it. He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he doesn't want you to call him just with your brains. He wants you to call him with your heart. He says, for with the heart, salvation is made unto salvation. Stop playing around. You need to get serious with this. This is the most important news that you'll ever hear in this life. Nothing is more important than your soul. No amount of money can measure up to the value of a soul. And you will know it real soon when you die and if you're not saved. On the other hand, God extends his hands all the day long to a gainsaying and disobedient people. Remember Lot's wife. Ask the Lord to save your soul right now. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just pray right now that if there's someone here that needs to get serious and ask to get saved, I pray you touch their hearts. I pray you convict them of their sins. I pray that they will call upon thee. I pray that they would truly get saved and settle the matter once and for all. While all the heads are bowed and all the eyes closed, If there's anyone here that is asking the Lord right now to save their soul, just raise your hand. I just want to know so I can pray for you. If you're asking the Lord to save your soul right now, okay, I see you. Thank you very much. Anyone else? You're asking the Lord right now to save your soul. This is real business. Lord, thank you so much for all those who have come. I pray, Lord, for those who are still holding back, Lord, that you would give them no rest until they come and bow their knees to thee. I pray for their souls to get saved. We thank you and we love you. And we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Good day.